Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory forever. Welcome to Ortho Analytica. This is Father Anthony Perkins, the host of this podcast. Today we're going to depart from our usual format, and I'm going to share with you some of the sounds of Great Lent and Holy Week as they were heard here at St. Michael Ukrainian Orthodox Church in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Interspersed amongst the music from divine liturgies and vigil and matins are homilies from the Sundays of St. John of the Ladder, St. Mary of Egypt, and the entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. In between each of the sets of music, I'm going to describe to you what you are about to hear. These are live recordings, so you're going to get insights into what our liturgical worship life is like here at St. Michael's, and what sermons preached without notes sound like. Kind of scary. The usual format, complete with toned-down satire, news, and a lesson on false versus true spirituality in the next podcast, which will include, by the way, the Church's controversial teaching on the immortality of the soul. These are going to return soon. No, really, I mean it. After Pascha, podcasting will once again become part of my usual routine. It just hasn't been possible during Great Lent. Anyways, in the next episode, I think our old friend Pavlo Amerikanchuk may even be coming to tell some stories about life in the Appalachian Autonomous Siege of Rusivka. So this week, you'll have no Nephilim, no singularities, no ghosts or UFOs. But all this and more will be back in spades after Pascha. In the meantime, enjoy the music. As always, I look forward to your comments, to include your critiques and constructive criticism. Speaking of which, some people wonder why I say the things that I do about church politics, especially about autocephaly, a topic that is so emotionally charged. Some think I am wrong. Some even find my comments offensive. Forgive me. I'm a political scientist. Moreover, I'm a comparativist. That means that when I want to understand and forecast the dynamics of specific situations, I generate hypotheses about how things might work, then test them using several cases, making sure that there is variation in both the independent, that is, the potential causes, and dependent, you know, the outcome, variables. The use of methods like this is one of the things that made me so useful in my past life as an intelligence analyst. But that doesn't mean that what I found in my analysis was always welcomed, or in all sincerity, that I was always correct. Science and discovery are communal processes that take both dialogue and time. As a soldier and a civilian analyst, I always worried when I ran into commands, that is, command climates, that discouraged the presentation of dissenting analysis. As citizens in a democratic and egalitarian polity, we know that such a climate is inefficient and even dangerous. And while we recognize the ill effects in extreme cases like Stalinist Soviet Union and Hitler's Germany, we are less willing to recognize how widespread a temptation it is in every human institution, even, perhaps especially, in ones comprised of good and honorable people. The mechanism there is not terror, as it was with Stalin and Hitler, but a desire to please and avoid offense. While I think that political science, and especially the logic of the comparative method, is useful for objectively studying religious phenomena in a fallen world, my desire to avoid causing offense, and especially temptation, may mean that in the future I use these tools exclusively for less sensitive topics. Topics like church growth, spiritual warfare, and ideological hegemony. Ditto for the use of satire. After all, a priest wouldn't want to make anyone uncomfortable now, would he? Well, until the next time, when I look forward to sharing with you the wonderful words, Christ is risen, indeed he is risen, Christos voskres, vaistinu voskres. May God bless you and offer you his Godspeed. The first selections we have for you are from the Sunday of the Cross, and these include the intro hymn, introit hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, the Alleluia before the Gospel, Homily on the Cross, the Cherubimic Hymn, the Anaphora, Communion Hymns, Blessed Be the Man, and the Closing Benediction. Enjoy.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today we are halfway through Great Lent. Now before you pull out your candles, calendars, and assume that once again Father Anthony has made a mistake with the math. When we say that we're halfway through Great Lent, we don't mean we're halfway through to Pascha, because Holy Week doesn't count. That's not part of the 40 days. We're halfway through the 40 days. Glory to God. And I put a little selection in the bulletin to explain why the church, in its generosity and understanding, puts the cross in front of us today as we are halfway through. It's because we're worn out. We are worn out with our fasting. We're worn out with our prostrations. We're worn out with having to be patient with each other, with all the extra services. And we're worn out, honestly, with ourselves. Because we have noticed how hard it is to be patient, to fast, to come to services, to engage ourselves in preparation for fasting. And so as a sign, as a banner for us to rally around, God plants his cross. And it was beautiful last night the way that the church helps inspire us. Because what it does, not only does it bring out the cross, we also sing the canon of the resurrection. The one that we will sing in just a few more weeks as we approach midnight. The cross is the banner of our faith. It is the sign of what we are to be. Think of that. What does the cross demand of us? The cross is a sign of suffering. It is a sign not of pointless suffering, and not of suffering for some kind of government or some kind of worldly power. It is a sign of suffering and sacrifice for love. Christ sacrificed on the cross out of his love for us. This is what we are called to do. Our suffering, our fast, our extra prostrations, these are not idle. They're not idle rituals. They are us offering ourselves up out of love to the God who did the same for us and in love for one another. In this, if we imitate Christ, if we accept his cross, if we accept his way, we will be saved. We will become holy. We will be transformed. Our families will be transformed. Our parish, our world will be transformed through this suffering, through this offering, and through this love. This is Christian virtue. When we speak of virtue, especially here in America, there's a certain thing that we have in mind. And I want to speak about this today, this idea of virtue. And I don't know if y'all think about it in these terms, and don't take this the wrong way. There's a way of thinking of virtues that are Yankee virtues. And by Yankee, I don't mean those of us who live in New England, even the ones who say y'all. I mean all of us who live in the West. There is a certain way that we see virtue. And it's idealized, of course, here in New England. And for those of us whose ancestors took their cue and perhaps their genes from the Cossacks, you have a double dose of these virtues. What are these virtues that we speak of, these Yankee virtues? Self-reliance, independence, hard work, frugality, stoicism in the face of adversity, living hard enough and well enough to make sure that we have enough to help out family think you probably do. We have communities that are based on these ideals. And these communities, like the families and individuals who make them up, are resilient. They can weather difficult times. They are, in some sense, efficient and strong. But are they necessarily good? Are they godly? Are they Christian? Now, I'm going to exaggerate this just a bit to make the point. But these virtues are primarily individual virtues. They contribute to the community because frugality, hard work, and generosity, all these things, when individuals have them, allow them to contribute to those who are struggling. I think if we're honest with ourselves, this is where most of us are at. Or this is where we try to be. When we say that we are good, or we are trying to be good, what we really mean is that we try to have enough extra time, extra money, and extra patience to help others. For instance, a good son will try to arrange things so that he has enough time and money to care for invalid parents. Good parents will try to arrange their budgets in such a way that they have enough money left to send their children to good schools. A parishioner that is trying to be good will sacrifice her free time and money to support the material needs of her parish. And sometimes this means that children, parents, and parishioners do without things they really like. They sacrifice. When we use this scale, we measure how good we are based on our ability to support the things we really care about. Seen in this way, being good or successful is not about how much stuff we have or how big our houses are or how good a vacation we can take, but rather about whether we have worked hard enough, been frugal enough, been successful enough to support family, friends, and community. I'm not knocking this. There is a lot to be said for this kind of virtue. For instance, it's a lot better than any of the alternatives. It's a lot better than working so hard for that American dream, that hedonistic dream of a bigger house, bigger vacations, and a soft retirement. But is it really the kind of attitude that makes us good? Is it the kind of attitude that really builds strong communities, holy communities, godly communities? Hard work is important. Frugality, simplicity is important. But if we think that giving our spare time and money in service of others is the path to holiness, then we have written our own gospel. Because that is not found in the one on the altar. That is not what Christ himself taught us. Think back to one of our favorite gospel stories. The rich young ruler. The one who had lots. And he lived according to the law. Now I want you to think what that means, to live according to the law. It doesn't just mean that he avoided murdering people and that he avoided adultery. It means that he tithed of everything he had. Tithed of everything he had. He was rich. Do you know what that means? What is a rich person in today's society? Usually we figure six figures. That would mean giving $10,000 a year That's like $900 a month. That's like $200 a week. This young man came up to Christ. And he might have been looking for a pat on the back. What can I do to be good? Well, what are you already doing? Well, I live according to the law. What did Christ say? Well done. Thank you for supporting the temple. Thank you for supporting the poor. Thank you for living according to the law. No, he said none of these things. He didn't say thank you for donating your extra time, patience, and money to good causes. He said, if you want to be good, give it all away and follow me. We hear this again and again in the Gospels. We hear it again today. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Again, this is not about disposable income. This is not about disposable time. It's about completely emptying ourselves and giving up everything in service and love to God, which is to say, service and love of one another. Everything. Not just what we can spare. All of it. It may end up that those people who take that plunge, who pick up that cross, end up going through many of the same motions that they went through before when they followed the ideal of Yankee virtuosity. They work hard. They live simple lives. They're frugal. And they give of their time and their patience and their money to good causes. But the spirit is different. Because the one at the center of the equation is not the self. The one at the center of the equation is the other, is God, is love. Because love is the ultimate virtue. And love does not live just in our hearts. Love lives among others. It is shared with others. It prostrates at the feet of others. It puts itself up on a cross for others. If we do these things, then not only will the transformation within ourselves be miraculous, the transformation in the community and in this world will be the same. This is God's desire for us, that we become truly virtuous, truly holy, by putting ourselves in service of others. This takes tremendous trust. But God is the one that you can trust who will not let you down. Our Lord himself was trusted. I mean, he was tempted with this. As we read in the psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? I put myself on the cross out of love, but I'm still alive. But that is not how the psalm ends. And that is not how it will end for us. Sacrifice is painful. But on the other side of that cross, joy awaits. The resurrection awaits. The new world awaits. So give away everything you own. Take up your cross and follow him. This is the way to virtue. This is the way to perfection. For ourselves, for our families, for our parish, and for the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
In this next section, we have selections from the Sunday liturgy of St. John of the Ladder. We have the second antiphon through the entrance, all in Ukrainian, Holy God in Ukrainian, the Alleluia and homily on the ladder, and then the cherubimic hymn in Ukrainian.
Thank you. so that you see nothing, hopefully, but what a priest should be. By the way, God doesn't just cover our sins. He doesn't just remit our sins. I'm afraid that some people have this idea that as we become good and holy and saintly and one with God, that somehow we lose who we are. That's just not the case. We are not being consumed by some kind of perfect bore. We are being perfected as the person you are called to be. Your identity is never lost in the perfection of God, but it is blessed and raised up above the fallen state that it is in now. This is the message of the gospel, that through Christ, this is possible. Today, on this Sunday of Great Lent, we're remembering St. John of the Ladder and especially his book called, fancy that, The Ladder. This is a tough book to read. It's part of my discipline during Lent to go ahead and read. And it's tough. It challenges us to take the gospel seriously. It challenges us, just like the gospel did last week, to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Christ. Why is it so important? Why does the church keep challenging us this way? It challenges us because this world has fallen. It has fallen from a high energy state into a low energy state, and we have fallen with it. It takes energy to take something that has fallen like that and bring it back up. It is hard. If you just sit and stare at it, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to stay down there. When we refuse this challenge, we are saying, hey, I'm okay down here. It doesn't bother me that the world is such a mess. It doesn't bother me that my life is such a mess. I'm okay with that. But the church is saying, you shouldn't be okay with that. It's not good enough. Take up your cross, follow Christ, and let's get this thing fixed. What it means to pick up your cross, what it means to follow Him, is to serve one another. It means to put the needs of others ahead of our own. What else is love? God is love. We are to be united in Him. What else is love but the sacrifice of our own will in the service and perfection of another? This is the kind of love that God has for you. It has the kind of love that God has for all of His children. And it is the kind of love that He expects us to have for one another. And another part of the challenge is that He expects this of us 24/7 unto eternity. This is the point that I was trying to make last week. We're not just called to serve one another or worship God or seek perfection during our spare time. Every moment of every day must be directed towards the pursuit of holiness, must be directed toward the application and the living of love. This is the only way we can become what we were created for, to become children of light. This doesn't mean that you get to leave your family or quit your job. We are called to find this perfection, to live out this love within the network, within the unity, within the community of relationships that God has blessed us with. We have to allow this kind of spirit to infuse every moment, every second that we spend with one another. And we're not physically together to maintain that unity through love in prayer. This is a challenge. You may recognize that it is an impossible challenge. The Holy Spirit guided St. John of the Ladder to take up a certain process whereby people could be moved from where they are into that state, towards that state where they can live a life of perfect love. None of the 30 steps that he described are easy. Now, he was writing for monks. So we cannot take the things that he wrote for them and apply them directly to our lives. It would be a disaster. For example, one of the early chapters is on obedience. And within a monastery, you have this ideal that the young monk pledges his complete obedience to his elders. Complete obedience. I don't know if you understand that. I haven't been in the army. I have a glimpse of what that might look like. But to have one's every action subject to the blessing of another human being, that is a way to learn humility. And that was the point. Because St. John through the Holy Spirit knew that pride is our biggest temptation. It is the main thing that keeps us between ourselves and that unity with love. And so obedience is a way to fix that. And thank God, within healthy monasteries, there are elders who are, through grace, up to that kind of task. Living in the world, I tell you again, it will be a disaster. Why? It's not our way. It's not what we're called for. If a priest were to try and call for that kind of obedience, it would destroy his own soul first. And hopefully God will protect those whom he led astray. It isn't our way. We must find another way, though, to subdue our pride. We must find another way to live out obedience to God. We don't have this easier way of finding someone and saying, "Tell me what to do. I'll do it." That doesn't mean, though, that we get to find our own way. Remember, pride is our greatest temptation. The way pride works is it tells us to take the easy way, to pick only that kind of love that will reward us. This is not the way of Christ. This is our own gospel. And it probably won't lead to perfection and holiness. So it takes discernment, but it takes sacrifice as well. The way is for laity, people like you and I who live in the world. It's clear. During Lent, we're called to fast, and we're called to pray. We're probably called to do that because it's the way to get us to point from point A to point B. We need to humble ourselves through prayer, through fasting, through doing things that weren't our first choice, so that we can learn to put others first and ahead of ourselves. In this book of the Ladder, St. John describes how monks who decided that this way wasn't for them, that they weren't really serious about it. They wanted to go to the monastery, but they didn't want to do the work. They wanted to do just enough to get by. They would identify those kinds of monks. They would try to help them. But if they refused to step up, they would be shown the door. There is always free will in our relationship with God. We have similar rules in our church. Everyone is welcome to join the church. But when you do, you commit yourself to a certain way of life. You commit yourself to living out certain obligations, primarily of which is to sacrifice yourself out of love to your brothers and sisters here. You commit yourself, when you join the Holy Orthodox Church, to a certain way of life and to a certain purpose. And while this certain way of life is the certain way The door is open, not only for people to come in, for those who would join Christ in this mission, but also to those who would forsake him and it in favor of something else. Another one of the things that comes out of this book is that half-hearted commitments don't bear fruit. This should not be surprising to us. It's almost spring. And the old calendar just turned spring, by the way, when it got warm. The day after our last snow of the year, knock on wood. So maybe we're thinking about gardening. Just imagine what would happen. You start out well. You make this commitment. I'm going to grow a garden. So you dig up some land. You till it so there's lots of air. You add some fertilizer, some really good compost. You buy the best of heirloom seeds. You plant it in nice rows. You mark it. And then you think you've planted your garden. What kind of fruit does that garden bear if you do nothing else until the fall? Is it a good garden? No. It's a garden full of weeds. It actually looks worse than it used to. Just because you planted a garden doesn't mean you're a gardener. Just because you planted a garden doesn't mean that you're going to enjoy fruit in due season. There are other examples we know from our life. Someone can have the most beautiful way. They can even have the best of intention. But we know that if both the members of that marriage do not put effort into it, guided effort, into the sustainment and the nourishment of that marriage, then the state of that couple afterwards is worse than it was individually before. The garden and the marriage have become, instead of blessings, curses to those people. Half-hearted effort does not bear good fruit. Very good things, few good things happen on their own. Everything worthwhile takes effort. It isn't enough to have a good way, a beautiful way to have a good marriage. It's not enough to have good seeds and good compost to have a good garden. It's not enough to get baptized or meet the minimum requirements of membership to enjoy the fruits of Christianity. It takes something else. Those who actually live out their lives in faith, those who actually tend the garden, those who actually, those couples that actually put right effort into their marriages are blessed by it. And those who put effort, rightly guided effort, into their faith are blessed infinitely more through Christ. It takes prayer. It takes fasting. These things, these prayer and fasting. I don't know if you've heard what happened in today's gospel. I don't know if you've heard the tremendous power that Christ has given us through these tools. Through these tools of faith in him and prayer and fasting, the very demons will obey and fall down before us. The world changes around those who follow Christ. But more importantly than having the demons subject to our control is the fact, as Christ says, that those who follow him in earnest have their names written in heaven. This is the message of St. John the Latter, his book, The Latter. This is the message of the gospel. This is what we are called to. This is our purpose. This is our intent. May the Lord strengthen us and give us power so that we can fulfill this call. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
first Sunday of each month is Ukrainian Sunday here at St. Michael's, so much of the music is done in Ukrainian. I hope that you enjoyed those selections. We got a little bit of a change for the next set of selections. We're going to start out with some things from our vigil service. So we have a verse from Lord I Call. We have the festal tropar with the Latia blessing. God is the Lord with the associated hymns. The polyaleos, which is Psalm 135, sung in its complete version with the magnification, or at least excerpts from it. The pre-gospel hymns. The hymns that come after Psalm 50, Holy is the Lord, and then excerpts from the praises, the final resurrection hymn of Matins, and then from the next day's liturgy, we have the homily, that's from Palm Sunday, the prayer at the ambon with Blessed Be the Name. Enjoy.
From the universal resurrection of Christ God. like the children with the palms of victory, we cry out to you, O vanquisher of death, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. By raising Lazarus from the dead before your passion, you confirm the universal resurrection of Christ, come. Like the children with the palms of victory, we cry out to you, vanquisher of death, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
In the fourth tone, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.
When we were buried with you in baptism, O Christ God, we were made worthy of eternal life by your resurrection. Now we praise you and sing, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name.
To him who made the name.
often allowed me, and save me, O my Savior. You who hate Zion shall be put to shame by the Lord. You shall be lifted up like a to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Every soul is enlivened by the Holy Spirit, and is exalted in purity. According to every goodness, and according to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Among other things, it is the end of the
Great Lent. Hopefully all of you yesterday enjoyed your caviar. You're well then. At least those like it convinced you twice. Today, enjoy your fish. Enjoy the feast. This is one of the great feasts of our church. This is a celebration of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's a celebration of the day when the Messiah took his rightful place among the faithful. So we wave the first fruits of spring, pussy willows. Down in the south, it would be azaleas and dogwoods. We wave pussy willows to show our joy, our great joy at the end of winter and at the beginning of a new life. Spring, the time when our Messiah comes and brings us warmth and light. The time we commemorate, the time when we opened up our hearts as the gates of Jerusalem were opened up. We opened up our hearts to the Lord and allowed Him, Christ Jesus, to take His rightful place on the throne of our souls. So we hear, Hosanna in the highest, the King of Israel has come to save and rule Jerusalem. A Jerusalem that had suffered for so long. We say ourselves, Hosanna in the highest. The King of the world has come to save and rule my life. A life that has suffered for so long. It is a great day of celebration. And how appropriate it is for us to have these wonderful banners up here. No, these aren't going to stay. This isn't our new iconostasis. These banners have been renewed. That spring has been brought to them. Banners are a sign of our joy. In just 1 week, we will march around this temple with those banners as signs of our joy. But back to Palm Sunday. Soon, within this liturgy, we will have the part of the ritual that I described to you a few months ago in our teaching liturgy. You remember what the great entrance symbolizes? That time we're going to have our children come and lead us with their palm fronds and their pussy willows. And then we will have our servers representing those who walk with Christ. And then we will have Christ Himself symbolized in the bread and the wine. And He will walk among the faithful as you yourselves hold your palm and willow branches and say in your mind, just in your mind, Hosanna in the highest, God is with us, the King of Israel. And so Christ, in His great entrance, comes forward towards the gates of the temple. But then all of a sudden, we recognize a change. All of a sudden, things aren't exactly the way that we thought the story would go. Because the ritual changes. As the priest carries the gifts up these stairs, they become not the stairs leading up to the throne, but the stairs leading up to the place of the crucifixion. And instead of leading to the throne of David, it leads to the altar of sacrifice. 2,000 years ago, the Jews saw this change. All that they had expected was being fulfilled. All the prophecies were resonating in the life of this man, Jesus. The blind had been brought to sight. The deaf could hear. The mute could talk. Even the very dead had been brought back to life. Lazarus walked with Him. The King had come. But then the King had given Himself up. This one who
going to rescue Jerusalem from the foreign occupation, who was going to restore the temple back to its rightful place and purge it of all the heresy that had filled it. And now himself become a victim of the Romans and the sin that had filled that temple. We know how to heal. We invited Christ into our lives. He was the answer to all of our desires. The God, the perfect love, the perfect power was coming to live on the throne of our hearts. Everything was going to change. He was going to rescue us from all of our problems. Everything would be sunshine and joy. And then when our euphoria is over, the emotions have worn down. All of a sudden, we see that our problems have not even gone away. In fact, we see problems multiply. It is not an end to our suffering. But suffering seems to have found a new beginning. This is not what we expect. It is not what the Jews, the people, expected 2,000 years ago. But you know how this story ends. You know that the Jews who were disappointed left his side, his very disciples scattered. But we know what came next. And what came next was so much greater than what the people had wanted. Rather than a few more years of health or the deliverance from the Romans, what we have is the defeat of sin and the defeat of death. Instead of the restoration of Israel on earth, you have the new kingdom declared. A kingdom where there would be no death, where there would be no evil. Nothing but good forever. And so it is in our own lives. You know how this ends. It ends not with our suffering. We go through the cross. We do not end on the cross. We go through the cross in victory. This is the Christian message. That we are sanctified through the cross. It's not the message that we want to hear. But it is so much better than what we expect. This is the way it is with God. So don't turn that throne of your heart, the place in your soul where you would have invited God to come in. Do not try to box him in. Do not try to define what he does for you. Because your definition will always fall short of what he desires. Do not put him in a box. Do not put him in a tomb. God will not stay in a box. God will not stay in a tomb. Open your heart to him. Let him live in you. Let him strengthen you. Bring you his joy in the midst of your suffering, so that you too can embrace, 1 week from now, the Passover, the great resurrection of our Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.
Bound feet and bandages, and having said, loosen him and let him go.
The children of the Hebrews met with thee, riding on a foal, holding in their hands branches of palm trees, crying out, Hosanna in the highest. And most of the crowd, bearing branches from the trees, were saying, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that has come and is coming again. And we, the faithful, bearing the symbols of victory, shout in exultation to thee, the only immortal conqueror of life and death. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, who blesses and glorifies and sanctifies us all, who are vouchsafed ever to enjoy thy holy and undefiled heavenly mysteries of Christ. Do thou thyself, O philanthropic King, save our sovereigns and shelter them under the shelter of thy wings. For blessed art thou, and to thee is due all glory, honor, and worship, together with thine unoriginate Father, and thine all-holy good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages.
Hope that you enjoyed those selections from Palm Sunday. Now we make the transition into Holy Week. The selections that I'll share with you next, and this is the end of the podcast, we'll take you to the end of the podcast, are from Bridegroom Matins. And just as a note, I haven't tweaked the recording at all. The acoustics really are that good in our church. The selections from Bridegroom Matins that I'm going to share with you are from both Monday and Tuesday night. I didn't record any of the ones from Sunday. Maybe next year. I also didn't record anything from our pre-sanctified liturgies. Ah, too bad. But anyways, this time I've got the six psalms for you. And this is our reader Michael, chanting these psalms, as he does every Saturday night, but they take on special meaning when we read them in Holy Week. Then we have The Bridegroom Comes. We have the Kathisma hymns. We have the hymns that come after Psalm 50. Then we have excerpts from the canon. And the most, my favorite from the Bridegroom Matins, we have Thy Bridal Chamber. Then we have the praises, or at least excerpts from the praises. We have a litany and the bowing of the heads. Then the apostica. And then lastly, we have the way that we finish all of our services, penitential services during Great Lent and Holy Week. With the hymn, Having Suffered. Enjoy.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of me, there is no salvation for him and his God. But thou, O Lord, art my helper, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep, I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou dost smite all my enemies on the cheek. Thou dost break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord, thy blessing be upon my people. I lie down and sleep, I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, nor chasten me in thy wrath. For thy arrows have sunk into me, and thy hand has come down on me. There is no health in my flesh because of thy indignation. There is no peace in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, they weigh like a burden too heavy for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate all the day ago about morning. For my loins are filled with burning, and there is no health in my flesh. I am utterly spent and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. Lord, all my longing is before thee. My sighing is not hidden from thee. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes has also gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from me, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those who seek my soul lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all the day long. I am like a deaf man, I do not hear, like a dumb man who does not open his mouth. Yes, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no rebukes. For in thee, O Lord, have I hoped. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God, for I pray. Only let them not rejoice over me, who boast against me when my foot slips. For I am ready for wounds, and my pain is ever before me. I will confess my iniquities, I will be sorry for my sin. My foes live and have strengthened themselves on me, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good are my adversaries, because I follow after good. Do not forsake me, O Lord my God, do not depart from me. Attend to my help, O Lord of my salvation. Do not forsake me, O Lord my God, do not depart from me. Attend to my help, O Lord of my salvation. O God, my God, for thee I keep vigil. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh faints for thee, as in a dry and weary land where no water is. So I have looked upon thee in the sanctuary, beholding thy power and glory. Because thy mercy is better than life, my lips will praise thee. So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on thy name. My soul is feasted with marrow and fat, and my mouth praises thee with joyful lips. I think of thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the watches of the night. For thou hast been my helper, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee, thy right hand comforts me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the sword, they shall be prey for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God, all who swear by him shall glory, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. I meditate on thee in the watches of the night, for thou hast been my helper, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee, thy right hand comforts me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Alleluia, 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 glory to thee, O God. Alleluia, 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 glory to thee, O God. Alleluia, 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 glory to thee, O God. Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. O Lord God of my salvation, I call for help by day. I cry out in the night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to hell. I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom thou dost remember no more, for they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast put me in the depths of the pit, in the shades and shadow of death. Thy wrath lies heavy upon me, and thou dost overwhelm me with all thy waves. Thou hast caused my companions to shun me. Thou hast made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon thee, O Lord. I spread out my hands to thee. Dost thou work wonders in the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise thee? Is thy mercy declared in the grave, or thy truth in perdition? Are thy wonders known in the darkness, or thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to thee. In the morning my prayer comes before thee. O Lord, why dost thou cast off my soul? Why dost thou turn thy face from me? I am needy and afflicted from my youth up. I lifted myself and was chastised. Thy wrath has swept over me. Thy dread assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in upon me together. Thou hast caused lover and friend to shun me, my companions from passions. O Lord God of my salvation, I call for help by day. I cry out in the night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear to my cry. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who delivers your life from corruption, who crowns you with mercy and bounties, who satisfies you with good in your wishes, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his desires to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, long-suffering and of great goodness. He will not chastise until the end, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father pities his sons, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Man, his days are like grass, he flourishes like a flower of the field.
His spirit passes away and he is no more, and his place knows him no more. The mercy of the Lord is from age to age upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to the sons of sons, to those who keep his covenant and remember and do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, powerful and mighty, who do his word, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications in thy truth. Answer me in thy righteousness. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for no man living is righteous before thee. For the enemy has pursued me, he has crushed my life to the ground, he has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit despairs within me, my heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy acts, I muse on what thy hands have wrought. I stretch out my hands to thee, my soul thirsts for thee like a parched land. Make haste to answer me, O Lord, my spirit vanishes. Do not turn thy face away from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of thy mercy, for in thee I put my trust. Teach me the way I should go, for to thee I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, I have fled to thee. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Let thy good spirit lead me on a level path. For thy name's sake, O Lord, give me life through thy righteousness. Bring my soul from sorrow, and in thy mercy cut off my enemies, for I am thy servant. Answer me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. Answer me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. Let thy good spirit lead me on a level path. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Glory to thee, O God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Glory to thee, O God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Glory to thee, O God. Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.
And the shall find watching, and again unworthy is the servant whom he shall find
Cast me not away, neither abhor me, O my God. but receive me in my repentance and save me, for thou alone art the lover of mankind. Thou hast established me on the rock of faith, thou hast opened wide my mouth against my enemies, for my spirit rejoices in singing. None is holy but our God, and none is righteous but Thee, O Lord.
Glory to Thee, our God, glory to Thee. The assembly of lawless men gathers together for empty discussion and with evil intent to pronounce sentence upon Thee, O Christ the Deliverer. But we sing to Thee, Thou art our God, and none is holy but Thee, O Lord.
Glory to Thee, our God, glory to Thee.
The fearful council of lawless men with souls full of hatred toward God intends to kill the righteous Christ as an evildoer. But we sing to Thee, Thou art our God, and none is holy but Thee, O Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.
Thou hast established me on the rock of faith. Thou hast opened wide my mouth against my enemies. For my spirit rejoices in singing. None is holy but our God, and none is righteous but Thee, O Though I have transgressed more than the harlot, O good one, I have not offered Thee a flood of tears, but praying in silence I fall down before Thee. With love I embrace Thy most pure feet, as Master, grant me remission of sins, when I cry to Thee, O Savior. Deliver me from the filth of my evil deeds. The command of the tyrant prevailed. The furnace was heated sevenfold, but the youths were not burned in it. Trampling on the king's decree, they sang, "Praise the Lord, all works of the Lord. Sing and exalt Him throughout all ages." With pure souls and blameless lips, come let us magnify the pure and spotless Mother of Emmanuel. Through her let us offer prayers to Him who was born of her. Spare our souls, O Christ our God, and save. Lord, have mercy.
Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O Lord, by Thy grace.
Lord, have mercy.
The venerating our most holy, most pure, most blessed and glorious Lady Theotokos and ever Virgin Mary, together with all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all of our life unto Christ our God.
To You, O Lord.
For all the powers of heaven praise Thee, and unto Thee do we ascribe glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages.
Amen.
Myra, I know change. goddess of the Virgin. With tears equal to her pasties, she besought thee weeping. Loose my debt as I have loosed my hair. Love the woman who, though justly hated, loves thee. There, with the publicans, will I proclaim thee. O benefactor who lovest mankind.
Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp.
The harlot mingled precious myrrh with her tears. She poured it on thy most pure feet and kissed them. At once thou didst justify her. O thou who didst suffer for our sakes, forgive us also and save us.
Praise him with timbrel and dance, praise him with strings and pipe.
As the sinful woman was bringing her offering of mirth, the disciple was scheming with lawless men. She rejoiced in pouring out her precious gift. She hastened to sell the precious one. She recognized the master, but Judas parted from him. She was set free, but Judas was enslaved to the enemy. How terrible is his lawfulness, how great her repentance. O Savior, who didst suffer for our sakes, grant us also repentance and save us.
Praise him with sounding cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let every breath praise the Lord.
O the wretchedness of Judas, he saw the harlot kiss the footsteps of Christ, but deceitfully he contemplated the kiss of betrayal. She loosed her hair while he bound himself with wrath. He offered the stench of wickedness instead of her, for envy cannot distinguish value. O the wretchedness of Judas, deliver our souls from this, O God.
In the second tone, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The sinful woman ran to buy the precious myrrh with which to anoint her Savior. She cried to the merchant, give me myrrh, that I may anoint him who has cleansed all my sins.
In the sixth tone, now and ever and unto ages of ages, amen.
The woman who was engulfed in sin found thee a haven of salvation. She poured out her with her tears and cried to thee, behold the one who brings repentance to sinners. Rescue me from the tempest of sin, O Master, through thy great mercy.
Let us complete our morning prayer to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace.
Lord, have mercy.
Let the whole day be perfect, holy, peaceful, and sinless. Let us ask of the Lord.
Grant it,
an angel of peace, a faithful guide, a guardian of our souls and bodies. Let us ask of the Lord.
Grant it,
pardon and remission of our sins and transgressions. Let us ask of the Lord.
Grant it,
all things that are good and profitable for our souls and peace for the world. Let us ask of the Lord.
Grant it,
that we may complete the remaining time of our life in peace and repentance. Let us ask of the Lord.
Grant it,
our Christian our life, painless, blameless, and peaceful, and a good defense before the dread judgment seat of Christ. Let us ask of the Lord.
Grant it, O Lord.
Remembering our most holy, most pure, most blessed, glorious Lady, the Virgin of God, and every Virgin Mary, together with all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all of our life to Christ our God.
To thee, O Lord.
For thou art a good God and lovest mankind, and unto thee we ascribe glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages.
Amen.
Peace be with you all.
And to your spirit.
Let us bow our heads to have we bowed the neck of our soul and body, and we pray thee, O Holy of Holies, stretch forth thine invisible hand from thy holy dwelling place and bless us all. If in any way we have sinned, either willingly or unwillingly, pardon us, inasmuch as thou art good and lovest mankind, granting us thy good things in this world and beyond this world. For thine it is to have mercy on us and to save us, O our God. And unto thee we ascribe glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages.
Amen.
Today Christ comes to the house of the Pharisee. A sinful woman calls to his feet and cries, "Look at me who am engulfed in sin, in despair because of my evil deeds. But in thy goodness do not despise me. Grant me forgiveness of my evil deeds, O Lord, and save me."
Satisfy us in the morning with thy steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as thou hast afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let thy work be manifest to thy servants, and thy glorious power to their children.
The harlot spread out her hair to thee, O Master. Judas spread out his hands to lawless men. She in order to receive forgiveness, he in order to receive some silver. We cry to thee who was sold for us and yet did set us free. Oh, Lord, glory to thee.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it.
Thou corrupt and filthy woman, drew near to thee, O Savior. She poured out her tears on my feet, and thus announced thy passion. How can I gaze on thee, O Master? Yet thou didst come to save the harlot. Raise me from the depths, for I am dead in sin, as thou didst raise Lazarus from the tomb after 4 days. Accept me in my misery, O Lord, and save me.
Satisfy us in the morning with thy steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad. I will thank thee, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wondrous works.
Despairing for her life and despaired of her good deeds, the woman came bearing myrrh to thee and cried, "O Son of the Virgin, though I am a harlot, do not cast me aside. O joy of the angels, do not despise my tears, as thou didst not reject me as a sinner. Accept me now as a penitent in thy great mercy."
Having suffered the passion for us, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy,
This is Father Anthony Perkins. This is the end of our podcast for today. And I finish by asking for your forgiveness. Please forgive me for all those things I've done to offend you. I hope that your Holy Week has brought you the growth and preparation needed for you to experience Pascha, the resurrection of our Lord, in its full glory. Until next time, Godspeed.